Hey, writers, join our First Draft Weekly Writers Club. We meet every Tuesday from 12 to 1 Eastern Time. For more information, go to writingclassradio.com and click on the Classes tab. I'm Andrea Askowitz.
And I'm Allison Langer. This is Writing Class Radio. You'll hear true personal stories and learn how to write your own stories. Together, we produce this podcast, which is equal parts heart and art. By heart, we mean the truth in a story. And by art, we mean the craft of writing. No matter what's going on in our lives, Writing Class is where we tell the truth. It's where we work out our shit. There's no place in the world like Writing Class. And we want to bring you in.
Today on our show, we bring you a story by Jennifer Byrne. Jennifer has been published in the New York Times, Tiny Love Stories, The Cut, Psychology Today, Good Housekeeping, Atlas Obscura, McSweeney's Internet Tendency. Oh, I like that one. That one's funny. The New Yorker, Daily Shouts, and The Guardian. She lives in New Jersey. Her story is a really excellent example of using a bookend structure. So stay tuned to learn about what a bookend structure is. Back with Jennifer Byrne's story after the break.
Have you ever thought, I'd love to have a podcast just like this one? Well, I can help. My name is Matt Kundle, and everyone at my company, the Sound Off Podcast Network, had a hand in making this show. Whether it was about the sound, the discoverability, or that you're just enjoying the show, we are all about the detail. If you think you have a podcast in you, reach out to me via email, matt@soundoff.network. Or check out the website and become one of the great podcasts we work with at soundoff.network.
I'm Allison Langer, and every Tuesday from 12 to 1 Eastern Time, I host First Draft. It's a class, kinda, because you'll get a little bit of instruction, but mostly it's a group where you come together with other writers online, write to a prompt and share what you wrote. It's the only way to get better. Come join me. Check out all our classes at writingclassradio.com or go to patreon.com/writingclassradio to learn more. We're back. This is Allison Langer, and you're listening to Writing Class Radio. Up next is Jennifer Byrne reading her story, The Window.
I heard it before I saw it. I'd had maybe one sip of coffee that morning before the panicked wing flapping burst into earshot. Then there it was, like a fugitive from Game of Thrones, huge, sleek, and blue-black. It was terrified. So was I. The crow was flapping around frenziedly against the closed window. It was in a strange place and desperately seeking to get out. My husband of 13 years had left a few months before, after a business trip to Hawaii had coincided with a nuclear missile alarm from North Korea. He and his co-workers had received a text that read, "Ballistic missile inbound. This is not a drill." They'd halted their ophthalmology conference and hunkered down, waiting to be obliterated by a nuclear bomb. It turned out to be a false alarm, but not for my marriage. During the 38 minutes, it seemed very likely he was going to die. He never called or texted me to say goodbye. I was a child of the 1980s Cold War mania, and I knew a thing or two about impending Armageddon. At our slumber parties, while humming along to 99 Luftballoons, my friend and I had enjoyed concocting elaborate, highly fanciful plans to make sure the two of us and our families were all together when the bomb inevitably hit. Maybe we didn't fully grasp the horror and irrevocability of nuclear destruction, but we did understand one thing. When something like that goes down, you seek out the ones you love. I didn't expect Dave to understand. "Here we go again, Jenny drama," I'd imagined him sighing when I confronted him, invoking my least favorite nickname. The name had been cute at first, but at some point it calcified into the defining narrative of our marriage. I was the emotional, hypersensitive loose cannon. Dave was the rational one, pragmatic and exasperated by my need for reassurance. After a while, it became a sad little dance, my needy heart constantly grasping for his unyielding one, his retreat, my pursuit. It had grown exhausting for us both, and it left me wondering what I was chasing and why. The spell of infatuation had somehow convinced us that these differences were just the thing that would balance us out and make us whole. I'm not sure when our differences stopped being charming and started to become alienating. I'd only ever witnessed my parents' marriage, which was a long, unhappy union that they'd stayed in for the kids. Growing up in that battleground had deterred me from having kids of my own to stay together for. But even my happily married friends insisted that marriage was hard work, so when things went bad, I just assumed I needed to work harder. Even after Dave's near-death experience showed me how little I mattered to him, I persisted in fix-it mode. When I confronted him, I brought along a newly purchased copy of The Five Love Languages. But Dave, it seemed, had come to the realization that marriage shouldn't have to be that much work. "I think we should get a divorce," he said, his eyes tearing as he stared blankly down at the self-help book that now seemed to mock my delusional hope. He packed a bag, washed the dishes, and left. I'll never know whether Dave's revelation was further illuminated by the younger female coworker who was also present during those fateful 38 minutes and who is now his fiance. All I knew then was that I was alone. In the days that followed, I shut down any suggestions that I sell the house, despite its daunting mortgage and its seemingly never-ending need for repairs. Sometimes unwanted change turns out to be the best change, my therapist said. But I wasn't ready for that wisdom. It seemed unfair, the idea of being uprooted from my comfortable life just because Dave wanted to leave. Happy or not, this was my home. Now there was a crow flying around in it. "Hey, buddy," I said, trying to sound calm. It flapped harder. "Hey, it's okay." I could feel my hands shaking as I inched toward the window. As I got within reach of the crow, it started to beat against the glass even harder. I reached out to grab it, but instead of getting a firm hold on its body, I ended up grabbing one wing, which felt surprisingly bony and fragile. I let go so I didn't break it. "Shit," I said to the crow. "Now what?" The crow's velvety black eyelids slid over its eyes in a slow, exhausted blink, as though trying to give me the answer I already knew. Eventually, I'd put the house up for sale. Not long after that, I'd fall in love with a man whose first reaction to just about anything, a near-death experience, a piece of good news, a silly cat video, or a beautiful song, would be to share it with me. But right then, I had to try again. "It's going to be okay," I repeated. The crow fluttered a bit as I walked toward it and then stopped. It stood on the windowsill like a statue and remained there even as I got closer. I slowly picked it up around the chest and belly, avoiding the wings. My instinct was to get this crow out of my life as quickly as possible, but I couldn't help but look into its brown eyes. In that moment, I felt an unusual sense of clarity and calm. I've read that a crow's eye color changes as it grows, starting out bright blue and turning brown with maturity. I managed to somehow open the front door without dropping the bird, and as soon as we stepped outside, it launched itself into the air. Within a few seconds, it was gone from my view, bound for home or someplace better.
God, I got chills at the last line, bound for home or someplace better.
Yeah. Yeah. Holy. I love the structure of this essay so much. It is so easy to follow. The narrator guides us from the very beginning. And I was drawn in the entire time.
This is a bookends structure. And it works so well.
You want to describe that a little bit?
Well, it starts and ends this, in this case, with the crow. And what she did so well is like, so she has a crow problem in her house. And then she steps out and tells us the whole, not whole, but she tells us the problem in her marriage. And then this line was like the best ever. She's talking about how it's not fair that she should have to leave her house. I mean, she wasn't happy there, but it was her home. And she writes, "This was my home. Now there was a crow flying in it." So she just so seamlessly brings back the crow.
Yeah.
Amazing. That was good. It wasn't like I was like, wait, what happened to the crow? But when the crow came back, I was like, oh my God, she still has to deal with the crow.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the bookend. So first of all, we get the problem at the top with the crow. And then immediately it parallels the problem in her marriage, right? So there's this problem in her. She shows us like, this is going on. And now, and this is also going on. So we get like, he never texted her to say goodbye. So there's a situation, the crow, I feel like, but there's a real story here about this narrator trying to find her way after divorce, leaving the past in the past and moving forward to a new and better life. That's how I see it. Did you see it that way too?
Yeah. She's the crow.
Yes.
Flying home or to a better. What's that last line again? My favorite line ever. My God. Bound for home or someplace better. Because she's leaving her home.
Yeah.
And hopefully she's bound to for someplace better.
So he never texted her to say goodbye. But before we get to that, how did you feel about frenziedly? I saw you kind of like tweak. Did that word tweak you?
Did I tweak?
You tweaked.
Oh, well, maybe because I couldn't quite hear it.
Oh, okay. We always say something about adverbs and this and that, but I just thought it was flapping around against the closed window would have worked. I know you and I tend to argue about this, but I love to hear a narrator's like words, extra words sometimes, because it gives me a tiny glimpse into their personality. Maybe it's a writerly personality. Maybe it's just their personality. Like she would say to her friends, he was frenziedly all over the place, like making up words and stuff. Maybe that's a word, but it feels like a made up word, you know?
Yeah, right. Okay. I do think that if I tweaked, it was only because I was like, huh? What's that?
What did I say yesterday? I made up a word yesterday. Now I can't remember in first draft.
You did?
Yeah.
And it was and a I good was one? Like,
uh-huh. I took like a, I don't know, shit.
Damn it.
Would have been, I know. What did I say?
Got to write down all your brilliant moments so you can pull them up later.
I know. Damn. I don't know. Sometimes they just hit me and then they leave just as fast as they come. Anyway. Okay. So, where was I? Okay. So then we get a little bit of backstory into their marriage. So she says like, this guy didn't text her to say goodbye. Then we get a backstory.
I don't want to rush over that line because
it
was a false alarm, but not for my marriage.
Yeah.
God, that's good. Right. That was so good. And then he never called. That lever called to say goodbye line, like I felt so crushed. I felt so sad.
I mean, what an indication. Like I started thinking, I remember when I first read this, I was like, yeah, you're trying to reach out to the people you love immediately just to tell them, I love you, I love you, I love you. And that somebody doesn't do that, that's a lot. That's crushing.
I want to ask you about that next paragraph. When she was a child of the 1980s,
so I liked it because I liked getting a little bit of backstory and why that meant so much to her, you know, like, okay, so she was a child of the 80s Cold War mania. I love the 99 Luft Balloons. Weren't you singing it? 99 Luft Balloons. Okay. But it's just like when we grew up way back when, like there were no major events, like what's happened in the last 25, 30 years, you know, this anger, this fighting. It wasn't like that, it seemed, or maybe it was, and we didn't know it because we didn't have 24/7 TV and all that stuff. I don't know. It just seemed different. Maybe I was just stupid and still am, but she developed an understanding and she gives us a backstory and how she developed it, that when something bad goes down, you seek out the ones you love.
So I didn't think she needed it. But I also thought, because I do think that we have seen like in the media, or we know that like when your plane's going down, you call your loved ones and say, I love you. Like, I think that's just kind of in the zeitgeist. But I also think it wasn't detracting. So like sometimes you don't need something in a story, but it doesn't distract from the reader either. And I thought it really did add like a really sweet moment between her and her friend.
Yeah, that was sweet. But I did like it.
But you thought it was necessary?
Well, no, I don't think it is necessary. We're always like, well, how did she come up with that? Is there a backstory to that? Like, did something happen to her parents? I don't know. Like, why not? Why not hear a tiny bit more depth into this narrator?
Okay. Well, that's why I liked it.
But then here we go again, Jenny drama. I just wanted to punch this guy. I really didn't like him when I heard that. And so, yeah, that was a really good telling example of what was going on.
She really showed like the dance of her marriage, but dance is like the dynamic of her marriage. She showed it really well. She described it well.
But I felt sad for her too, because she, you know, I feel like I've been there. Like, somebody's pragmatic, but you're needy. That's how they see you, just because they're not giving you what you need. Like, they're not in tune. So if you ask for something, then all of a sudden you're needy. And I tell you, that's like a common thing that people say about people who want more love. I won't just say women, but that's what it's always felt like. So we have to retrain ourselves to ask for what we need, and the right people will be responsive.
They were just not well matched, but I agree with you. Yeah. I wanted to bop him too, but maybe he just wasn't in love with her.
Well, we don't know, but then we get a little bit of insight into the fact that the coworker has become his fiance, and she was also there during that time. So we know something happened. So,
And also we know that this narrator found someone who doesn't think she's needy, who doesn't view her in that way. I'm so happy for her.
I know. Okay. So wait, let me go back to the structure just a tiny bit. So after she gives us backstory into why she felt bad about him not calling her, then we get the backstory into the marriage, right? And then she ends with the house, like you said, and right back to the crow. So we get back to the issue at hand, which was just amazing. And then right to the real purpose of like what's going on in the story. And so that's how I just thought that structure was, God, done well. Really, 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 really well.
I know.
And then she used like good words from her therapist. Sometimes unwanted change turns out to be the best change. So she can tell us how she was feeling through the voice of her therapist. And she wasn't ready for that wisdom. Happy or not, this was my home. Now there was a crow flying around it. I just love that she tried to get him out. You know, now what? She's asking the crow for advice. I love it.
I'm pretty impressed with her for capturing that crow. Like, God, have you ever had a bird in your house?
Nope.
Oh, I have.
Not lately.
Mm-mm. I'm not cool when that happens. Like, I freak out.
How are you with a roach?
Fine. Roaches are tiny. I can handle a roach.
Okay, so you come over to my house when there's a roach, and I'll come to your house when there was a bird. I think I can handle the bird. I don't like roaches.
I don't even want to tell you.
Okay, stop. We're getting off track.
Okay.
We're getting off track. But anyway, I just wanted the very last line, like the two last lines, I felt an unusual sense of clarity and calm when she looked in, you know, she says that when she looked into the crow's eyes, and I just thought that was really sweet. And then, yeah. And then it was gone and bound for home or someplace better. That last line, we talk about like endings a lot, and this narrator nailed it.
Yeah. It's a 10, and she's throwing her arms up and she nails the landing, and she looks at the judges with her arms up. 10, 10, 10.
I was a gymnast. It was like this.
Oh, I'm doing it wrong?
You have to like put the arms out.
Shoot. You can't see us, but we're both trying to be gymnasts. Allison has better posture. Okay. So good.
Thank you for listening. And thank you, Jennifer Byrne, for sharing your story.
Writing Class Radio is hosted by me, Andrea Askwitz.
And me, Allison Langer.
Audio production by Matt Kundle, Evan Serminski, Chloe Amont Lane, and Aiden Glassy at the Sound Off Media Company. Theme music is by Justina Chandler. There's more Writing Class on our website, including stories we study, editing resources, video classes, writing retreats, and live online classes. You know, our website really is a cornucopia of writing great stuff. Join our writing community by following us on Patreon. If you want to write with us every week, or if you're a business owner, community activist, group that needs healing, or an entrepreneur, and you want to help your team write better, check out all of the classes we offer on our website, writingclassradio.com. Join the community that comes together for instruction, an excuse to write, and the support from other writers. To learn more, go to our website or patreon.com/writingclassradio. A new episode will drop every other Wednesday.
There's no better way to understand ourselves and each other than by writing and sharing our stories. Everyone has a story. What's yours?
Produced and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.